Well, we were waiting on you.
Okay.
Okay. George is here. Now we can get started. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the class. We are doing His Power, My Prayer. We want to thank you for all of your comments, for the interaction that you've been able to give, and I'm really excited. Today we're going to be getting into new territory. I feel like I'm always reviewing from the different times. We're not going to review. We're going to go straight into another subject. If you want to look back at the different classes that we've had, you can go to my website, mikemoody.com, and you can download all of the notes that we've been covering and view the presentation as it's been taped or computer recorded on the camera here and put up on our Delrata's YouTube channel as it's done every week. But before we get started, are there any prayer requests? I have a few that I've been receiving from Doug when he sends out. I'm so thankful that he sends out those emails throughout the week that lets us know kind of the current things that are going on. If you're not receiving those, let Doug know, because they're very insightful and they're helpful to for us to keep our minds focused and to also be in that pray without ceasing mentality as we always need to be. I've got Owen Revels is home from the hospital. Jill Johnson is home. Reba Horn, mother of Mike Horn, is home with them from the hospital. And little Anderson Tucker, it's just been so pitiful to see him walking around here with a cast on his arm. He broke his arm at the playground, and he's been running a little fever lately, so we'll remember him. But who else do we need to put in our... Yes, ma'am. And your brother's name? Herman Tyler, been diagnosed with cancer, and they're treating that? Oh, man, okay. All right, who else? All right, let's begin with prayer. Let's bow our heads. Almighty Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another wonderful day that you've blessed us with and for this opportunity you've given us to come and hear the Word of God, to apply these things to our hearts and to have us become stronger Christians and better soldiers in your daily army. At this time, we want to bring to you Owen Revels. He is one of the twins who was at the hospital, and he's home now, hopefully getting better and better every day. Also, Jill Johnson, who is home from UAB, we pray that her strength will continue to grow and that Bill will be there, Hunter, his family, and the rest of us can be there for them. But you can comfort them in a way that we cannot understand. Also, Sister Reba Horn, Mike Horn's mother, be with her. As she's been at the hospital, it's always difficult, and when you get a little older, those stays can become much more difficult. Please be with her, be with Mike and Jonna as they're taking care of her, and help her to recover to a full measure of health as in accordance with your will. Also, little Anderson Tucker, be with him as he has broken his arm and that he's now running a little fever. Please be with him, help him to heal fully and bounce back and be the joy that he is to his family and to the rest of us. And also Herman Tyler, who has been given a diagnosis of cancer that is not treatable. Be with him, be with his family. We pray that you will comfort him and that you will allow his family to be there and to love him and to comfort him and to minister to him as they can and as he will let them, and be with those doctors that are treating him for probably bouts of pain and help him to have as little discomfort as possible in these next few difficult steps. And with all of these, with all of us, please help us to continue to walk in the light as you were in the light. Please help us to be the model Christians that you would want us to be. And every day we would always pray, help us to be better Christians today than we were yesterday, and better Christians tomorrow than we will be today. Please help keep us safe throughout this class and throughout our days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, our class today is going to be the one, we're continuing with a broader theme of wonderful things happen when I pray. We have gone through several aspects of what, of the Godhead, how the Godhead is activated in all aspects. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all come into action when we pray. They want us to have a successful prayer, and it in fact is a perfect prayer when it gets to God. It is imperfect, of course, because we are imperfect, but the Holy Spirit works with us to help us find those words. God the Son, Jesus, will take that message and create a perfect message and deliver it to God. God is the one who receives that message in power, and He will act on that, and through providence, it is that prayer will be answered. And then we just need to understand the answer, whether it's yes, no, or not now, whatever that answer may be. But today, this morning in particular, I want you to know that you are special. You are extremely special. If you didn't think you were, if your mom and dad didn't tell you that you were special growing up, I'm telling you right now that you are special. God made you different from anyone else that He has ever made or will make. Psalm 139:13-14 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." As Christians, we are set apart, but we are wonderfully made to do so. We are unique. Every one of us is unique. And as Christians, we are set apart from the rest of the world. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light." So we are chosen. We have been chosen to be that wonderful people, His emissaries on this earth, His army, His representatives here on this earth. Those who choose to be a part of God's army are chosen to be a part of God's army. It works both ways in that way, but we do have to maintain our relationship with God in order to do that. You are special because God knows all about you and still loves you. Isn't that, I'm so thankful for this part in particular, because I'm so flawed, and I know that you're not. I'm just speaking of myself, but I'm so flawed in my human frailties, but God loves me anyway, even though I don't even deserve it. We don't deserve His love, but He loves us anyway. Matthew 10:29-31. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, or without your Father knowing. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows." So He values us above everything, above all, because we're special, because we are unique and we're different. You are that person. You are unique and you are different. You are special to Him in that in order to have a relationship with you, God sent His Son to be tortured and killed so that a bridge could be reestablished joining us with God. Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So he did not have to do this. He dealt with us one way during the flood, which was a pretty severe punishment for the entire world, save a few. But he loved us so much that he wanted us to be rejoined with him. But he could not be joined with us in our state of sinfulness. So he sent his son, his perfect son, to come down to be tempted, to be tortured, and to be killed, to be executed, so that his sacrifice would represent our lives on that cross and that we could be rejoined with him. That's how special you are. You are so special that he wanted to have a relationship with you. In order to do that, he sent his son to die. So I ask you this question. If we are so special, now that you know you're special, now that we all have established how special we are in God's eyes, if we are so special to God, then why do we not trust him to use his power to help us in prayer? Why do we not simply lean on him and say, I'm giving it to you, God. I'm just going to let you have this problem. Why can we not release control? I know people that they drive their car and they will not let anyone else drive. They have to be in control of that vehicle. They don't like the feeling of somebody else having their lives on their hands, so they've got to be the one in control. And that's kind of like how we are. You know, in our lives, in our Christian lives, we're not supposed to be the driver. We're really supposed to be the passenger. God is supposed to be the driver, and we're supposed to accept his leadership and where we are, you know, where he leads us, where we go. So why, and I'll open this up. I knew Joshua. Thanks for helping me out there, brother. Why do we not trust God to use his power to help us during prayer? Absolutely. Great point. Our American culture, what he was saying, our American culture has, you know, everybody loves a success story. Somebody who has built their lives up from nothing, pulled them up themselves up by their own bootstraps, if you will. This is kind of the American dream, is to grow up, do anything you want, be anything you can be, all by yourself, on your own, without help from others. And with this culture comes the feeling that I must have control over every aspect of my life, over even to the point of over my spiritual life. I must be in control. That's how I will be successful. Isn't it interesting that in order to be successful in our spiritual life, we really have to be out of control. We really have to be not in control of our lives. It does go against everything that we stand for, usually when we're growing up in this society. So that's a very good point. So do we not believe that, to answer that question, I'll answer the question with another question. Do we not believe that his power is enough to help us through prayer? It's easy to pray for something, but to pray and believe that that something is going to happen or that that something will be answered, it's tough to do that. Because, you know, we have faith, we know God is there, we know he's listening. We have too many examples in the Bible of the fact that he does answer prayers. So we know he's there, we know he hears us, and yet, do we let him have control? And the biggest example I can give you is financial situations in your life. Have you ever been, were you ever at that point? I think, Sister Noel, you're wanting to say something. You're thinking about, I'm going to get to you in just a second, because I see she was looking like she was wanting to say something, and I didn't want to interrupt her. But our financial lives, we always, you know, you really do have to be in control of your financial life, or you let that money get out of control. But when you get to the point where you've got more month than you've got money, it's tough to pray about that and let God handle that. What will happen? So many times growing up, the stress of what might happen far outweighed the truth of what did happen. When it finally happened, whatever that thing was, it wasn't nearly as bad as what my mind created. It's kind of like the when you were a little kid, the boogeyman or the monsters under your bed or in your closet. You thought they were just going to just eat you right up. But then the reality was it was all up here. There was nothing out there to hurt us. Sister Noel. Great point. When we pray and God does not answer us in the way that we wanted Him to answer us, then we start questioning things. But sometimes that answer's no. My understanding, I'm not a grandparent yet. I hope to be one day. I'm not a grandparent. But my understanding is there's a rule book to be a grandparent. And it's only one page. And you open it up and it says, never say no to the grandkids, because it felt like that's what my parents were doing when we were growing up, and that kids would stay with them said, ha, they had a great time. We fed them donuts and candy, and they stayed up all hours and this kind of thing. Here you go. And they're like wild animals, of course, hopped up on sugar. But I said, why didn't y'all just tell them no? Oh, they're just so cute. You know, I just love them so much. I can't say no to those kids. You know, I'm looking forward to that. Spoiling the kids and sending them back as little terrors to their parents and say, ha, it happened to me too. But anyway, but having God say no to us is a difficult thing. To say no to our own children is a difficult thing. We want to give them everything. We want them to be happy. We want them to have everything they want. But sometimes we just have to say no. You're 10 years old. You don't need a pistol. You don't need a gun. You know, I'm sorry, that's just not going to work out for us. But yes.
I think one reason why some people do not want to take everything to God in prayer is hesitate. Even though they may be in a good relationship with God, they're faithful. But a lot of times, people have such guilt on themselves for things they have done in the past and things like that. And they feel like, I am not deserved what I've done to go before God with this. Because perhaps they don't fully understand
grace.
You know, spiritual gifts from God. So we hesitate to go before Him. I'm not worthy to go before you with what I have learned. And so we just put a block up, like, you know, I'm just too ashamed, and I don't understand forgiveness. So I think that probably stops some people from taking everything to it. You know, because they, I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe they don't forgive themselves, and so they feel like this is so great that God can't forgive them.
Great point. The idea was that we feel so guilty about our own lives that we don't feel worthy enough to be able to go to God and ask Him whatever this thing may be. We have never forgiven ourselves, even though we may have asked for forgiveness in earnest. We have been forgiven. God has wiped away that part of our life, that sin in our lives. But yet, we cannot forgive ourselves. And in so doing, we have the self-loathing that we don't feel worthy enough to come to His throne. And that is why, when we were talking about the actions of the Godhead acting for us, that is why God does not hear the loathsome, pitiful person that we might be inside, that we might feel. He hears a perfect prayer from a soul that has been forgiven, a soul that is under the grace of God. So that was a very good point. We've got to understand that we will never be as perfect as we want to be in order to pray to God. Let me get him, and I'll get you in a minute, Brother Wayne. But we've got to still pursue that and understand that we'll never be. It's kind of like when you were young married. You said, how much money do we need to have children? Well, you'll never have enough money. You'll never be to that point where you can say, now we can successfully have children. Well, when you're a Christian, you will never be to that point. So start now. Yes, Brother John, and then Brother Wayne.
To me, the greatest passage, one of them, Luke 18 on prayer, and they're the focus is on faith. Verse 8, Christ says, when he comes back, will he find faith? And that's in between the and each of those parables illustrate a need for faith. The Pharisee thought he was the greatest example of faith. He didn't do anything wrong. But the persistent woman kept our widow kept going and going. I think faith is the greatest drawback. People ask, are told of a prayer request, they'll say, do you think that really is something God can do? You know, that reminds me of the Israelites in the wilderness, and there Moses was told by God, you're going to have enough meat that will last you a week, 2 weeks, or a whole month. And Moses says, this can't be done. So Ephesians 3:20 says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we even think, than we ask. And so prayer, a lot of times we restrict prayer, I believe, by our lack of faith. Will he find faith? And he's talking to his own design. Will he find faith in us when he comes back?
Great point. Very poignant. In Luke 18, when it's talking about prayer, will God find faith when he returns? Will Jesus find faith when he returns? And we need to understand that he will do more when we have that faith, when we have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, when we have even a small amount of faith, God can use that. He can use that to our advantage. There's a business term, ROI, return on investment, meaning how much money will I invest in this and how much will I get back as a result of that investment? God doesn't require a lot. He does require it, but not to the level that we probably think he requires, you know, of ourselves, near perfection, but he requires us to have faith in him, even a small amount of faith. He can use that and he can work with that. By the way. Great point. He was reiterating what Tommy was saying earlier, that we need to not only, you know, one of the best ways that you can grow as a Christian is to be active, to do something. And a way to do that is to seek out those around you that need prayer, that need encouragement. Find them, because that will always strengthen you. I think one of the best times spiritually for me in particular is during VBS, because we are working extra hours, we're getting ready, we're in the trenches with our brothers and sisters getting ready for this event to make it wonderful for the kids and meaningful for them. And to get your hands dirty is a way that you can build your faith, because you're actively doing something for others and you're doing the Great Commission. You're actually doing what God wants us to do, to go and seek and save the lost. Very good points. Very good. Okay, so let's get into God's power. The power that created the universe is the power that responds to our prayers. God literally spoke into being everything in existence. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Have you ever thought about the magnitude of what happened when he did that? There are millions of stars. I've captured just a few of them right here. There are millions of stars out there, and they're innumerable if you think about it. Find my place here. There are some 300 billion stars in the Milky Way where we are located. Each one of those stars that we see could have planets orbiting around it. Depending on who you ask, there are 9 planets around the sun, or some have downgraded Pluto and he got kicked off of the list and there are 8 planets around. So depending on who you ask, there are up to 9 planets around the Earth. God spoke trillions of these stars and planets into existence. In Psalm 33, 6 through 9, by the word of God, the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the deep as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke it and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. So he spoke all of this simply into being. And why did he do this? Well, let's see. Sometimes we underestimate his power of creation. And he did all this for us. Job 37:5 says, God thunders wondrously with his voice, and he does great things that we cannot comprehend. I can't fathom the depths of space. I can't fathom the universe. I cannot comprehend what it's about. Before 1973, no one could comprehend a mobile phone. But Martin Cooper of Motorola did. Before the 60s and 70s, no one could comprehend a network of networks or network of computers called ARPANET, which later became the Internet. But Al Gore did. Wait, that's not right. He thought he did. It was actually the Department of Defense. But he also named them. I will not be going over those names. She said, when he spoke into existence, he named all the stars. We will not be naming them today. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I don't know them, but before 1927, no one could comprehend television, but Philo Taylor Farnsworth did. Before 1903, no one could comprehend manned flight, but Wayne Hatcher could. But Wilbur and Orville Wright did. Before 1902, no one could comprehend air conditioning. I think one of the greatest inventions we have ever, that and sliced bread. We've had, but Willis Carrier did. Before 1885, no one could comprehend the automobile, but Carl Benz and later Henry Ford did. Before 1849, no one could comprehend the telephone, but Anton Meucci and later Alexander Graham Bell did. Before 1722, no one could comprehend the concept of electricity, but old Ben Franklin did. And before you were born, no one could comprehend you, but God did. He knew you before you were born, and he loved you. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Not speaking directly to us, but indirectly, absolutely. He knew us before we were born. In the book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, James Dobson put it this way, "I am awestruck by the unbelievable dimensions of God's creation. How does one grasp the meaning of a visible universe that is at least 30 billion light years across?" And where did my point go? Got ahead of myself. It is breathtaking to consider what exists there in the silent sky. One of the objects relatively near to us, a star named Epsilon, is actually larger than the orbit of the planet Pluto in our solar system. If it were hollow, it could contain more than 2.3 billion of our own suns. There are just these magnificent creations that were put up there, and they were put there for us. The only explanation is that when we see all of these creations, they were put there for our benefit, simply to be at this point a beautiful scenery that we see at night. We don't know of any other planets that hold life. That's really not our job. Thank you, NASA, anyway. But we are given this entire universe just for our benefit, so that we could be perfectly placed. Psalms 147:5. "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." So it's the power that created not only the universe, but of course created our world, is the power that responds to our prayers. Exodus 20:11. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So the Lord that created this planet that we live on is the one that answers those prayers. He did these great things, but he can also do these small things. It's the distance that makes the earth perfectly placed. The distance from the sun makes it perfectly placed to sustain life. If we were any closer to the sun, the oceans would boil and we would die. If the distance was any farther away, the oceans would freeze and we would die. But it was made perfect for us, all of it. Like every object in the sun, or every object in the universe, Earth exerts a gravitational pull that keeps us from floating off of the surface. It exerts enough gravitational pull to keep a moon in orbit around it. The sun exerts enough gravitational pull to keep these planets revolving around it. But they are all like perfectly placed magnets with an equal amount of pull to keep them in their steady place. And that goes on throughout the entire universe. And that was done and made perfect just for us. The rotation of the earth creates night and day. It also creates the changing of the season. And from what I understand in the South, our seasons are summer and 2 weeks of fall. And then more summer. It feels like. I'm ready for the leaves to change. I'm ready for it to cool off. And I'm ready for those things. The earth itself there's a perfect atmosphere that's created. Perfectly timed so that we have an even rotation of these things. We revolve around the earth in an even amount of time, 365 days. We revolve once around the sun. All of this was made perfect just for us. The soil, the dirt that we have underneath us, the soil is a mixture of different chemicals and different gases to create a perfect habitation of life. Those are peas growing. That looks like aliens, but all of that, it was made perfect so that we might be able to grow plants, grow grass, so that our cattle can feed, so that we can grow crops, so that we can feed a farmer. I work for the Farmers Federation, and we have a lovely fact that we love to put out there. One farmer feeds 155 people of this planet, and he does that, or she does that, through proper management of their land and better practices of sustainability and all of that. But that ground is perfect to grow to keep us alive, made perfect just for us. All of this was made for our benefit, so that when we pray, let us never forget that God created the perfect environment for us to be able to commune with Him. We don't have to worry about this thing. We really should not be worrying about meteors striking the earth or anything like that. It's out of our control anyway. That's in God's hands. All of this is in God's hands, but there is, because I just heard recently, NASA is trying to create an anti, kind of an Armageddon movie type thing, an anti-meteor system that can detect and destroy meteors before they hit the earth. I said, well, that'd be cool. I'd see that. I'd pay money to see that. But all of this earth was made so that we would have the perfect environment to be able to commune with Him and not worry about these other things. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So the idea that God is love, and we abide with him, we are his evidence of that love. It should give us make us feel even more special. So because we're not just randomly put up here. We're not products of some big bang, some accident that happened that some millions and millions of years ago and created some primordial sludge that our ancestors slinked out of and then formed. And in fact, this morning I was listening to a podcast on the way in, and I heard that of course, I believe their science is flawed, but they said that octopuses are probably formed about 500 million years ago. And I always, nice, but wrong. But they are far from, they're like practically aliens, the way their brains are structured and all that, from humans. So when we both crawled out of the slime, they went one direction and we went another. I guess we got the higher ground. I'm not sure. Josh. Great point. Great point. He was referencing the fact that the power, this awesome power that we've been talking about, resides within us, which also gives us reason to say that we are special above any other creation. We are special, which actually leads into my next point, Josh. So great, great segue. The power that created you is the power that responds to your prayers. In Psalm 139:14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows very well. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that actually mean? Another word for fearfully, another way to look at that word fearfully, would be reverently. So we are reverently made. That means that we are there. That was intentional. There was thought behind it. There was a respectfulness behind it. It wasn't just thrown. We weren't thrown together. If your DNA, the strands of DNA in your body, were removed and stretched end to end, they would cover the distance of from the Earth to the Sun, which is 93 million miles, 400 times. Just the strands of DNA in your body could span 93 million miles four times. Approximately 50,000 cells in your body will die and be replaced with new cells during the time it takes to read this sentence. There they went again. Every square inch of your skin contains 20 feet of blood vessels, 4 yards of nerves, 1,300 nerve cells, 100 sweat glands, and 3 million cells, all in 1 square inch of our body, on our skin. In 1 hour, your heart produces enough energy to raise a ton of steel 3 feet off the ground and will beat an average of 3 billion times during your lifetime. The adult human body is comprised of 206 bones, and more than half of them are accounted for in your hands and feet. I understand that babies have more bones than grown-ups because their head isn't put together right. It has to kind of fuse together. They have 300 bones or something like that. So that's why if you think your kids have brain damage, their bones just haven't fused together yet. So give them time. They'll grow out of it. The human eye is a miracle in and of itself. The human eye can distinguish up to 1 million different colors and take more information in than the largest telescope known to man. What you're being bedazzled by right now is called a Mandelbrot zoom. And what that is done mathematically in a computer, which means it's an infinite zoom. This one 10-minute video that I pulled this out of took 3 months to process in a computer before it could be rendered out. So if you're all completely falling into this abyss, let me go ahead and get out of this. In the same verse of Psalms, another way that we can say when we are fearfully and wonderfully made, another word for wonderfully is properly. That would indicate that there was intent in creating us. There was a plan. It wasn't random. It wasn't evolutionary. There was intent in all of this. God set us apart from any other aspect of creation when He made us in His image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. We'll stop right there. Next week, you've got a real treat. I'm not going to be here. Brother Davenport, John Davenport of the Cackleman clan, has graciously agreed to teach next week. Isn't that right? Is that next week? In 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. So my wife's scowling at me. That was proper. I was thinking of something else. But so we will pick this up next week. Don't look at her, Brother Wayne. She knows what she's doing. he wanted to see the scowl. But thank you all for your attention, for your comments, and we will pick this up next week.